Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Meena Arunachalam, Director and Fellow AI Systems Engineering at AMD. Meena, I don't have AMD guests very often, so thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Jim. It's my pleasure to be here and looking forward to our talk today.
Great. So let's get started, Meena. We're seeing a rapid advancement in AI in the enterprise. You've had a rich history of working with customers in analytics and AI. Where do you think enterprises are within their journeys of adoption now?
AI is a huge transformative technology, particularly in the enterprises, I feel, because they are in multiple stages of adoption and understanding what value they can get and what benefits they can get for their businesses. So I see a lot of the enterprises start off with the exploration stage that involves understanding the AI potential and getting familiarized with AI. And then enterprises then conduct small-scale projects or pilot projects to test the usefulness and the value and the return on investment for their business, followed by sometimes taking these successful pilot projects for early adoption and scaling them in different areas. Finally, they tend to then take these large-scale production implementation of AI, where AI becomes the highest priority of innovation for the enterprise. Personally, I have worked with a lot of financial services industry, technology customers, even healthcare, where they are really into the full implementation of AI because they see not only a lot of value, but it pushes their specialization ahead and they welcome being in the middle of it. As well as I see mid-sized enterprises typically in their early adoption stages. Of course, there are exceptions that have full implementation. And I'm also very surprised to see small enterprises that are in their pilot project stages, since testing and smaller projects require much lesser, lower investment and resources. Mm-hmm. And with ubiquitous CPUs running their data centers, everybody is able to jump in and take part in the AI transformation.
Fantastic. When you consider the AI opportunity and looking specifically at large language models or other generative AI technologies in particular, the news lately has been filled with stories of massive transformation capabilities, as well as some implementations that maybe haven't gone quite as expected here. In what ways are enterprises embracing LLMs specifically, and what are some of the challenges that they have to face?
Yeah, as you can imagine, enterprises are eager to embrace the large language models in a variety of different use cases and avenues, starting from customer service and support, content creation, management, data analysis and insights to make better decision or enhanced decision-making, recommendation systems, a personalization of their product sales, even code generation, right, with Copilot and such, and software development. And essentially, increasing their knowledge management, also LLMs are being used. But there are a whole slew of challenges that enterprises face, including the most obvious ones, the data privacy and security bias, whether it is in the data bias or model biases, they need to keep a check on it, quality of the models, accuracy of these models, and most importantly, how do you integrate it with existing workflows that are very familiar and been kept on for many years? So they need to integrate it and scale it. And last but not the least, it takes a village to deploy AI. It's not just product design and engineering, but you also need to be aware of ethical concerns and legal considerations, right? As well as cost management, and some cases there are skill gaps that requires shoring up the talent pool in the company. Having said this, there's also with LLMs in particular in the natural language processing domain, they have done some amazing things. However, they are also somewhat limited to the information that they're trained on, the data sets they're trained on. So sometimes they might give you false information when it does not have an answer. especially generative AI models, presenting or out of date or generic information or creating responses from not so authoritative sources and things like that. And these all have to be kept in check and addressed.
I'm glad you brought these up because there are a couple of topics I really want to dive in a little bit deeper on here. For example, some of the larger AI players are making their models available to customers. And it's a great idea, open source and sharing, a well-understood concept here. But within the world of AI, is there anything wrong with basically just taking those models and implementing them and starting from there?
Yeah, I mean, it's very tempting to start there. It's all right. But we have to be aware and be cognizant of several issues and pitfalls related to using these foundational or public large language models. For example, I want to have customizations, right? Some of these pre-built models may not be tailored to an enterprise or a company's specific needs or business requirements. There's potential risk associated with data privacy or security, since there could be data breaches that you need to be aware of. How about bias and ethical concerns associated with what these pre-built models were trained on that the large AI players are making available to the end customer? Factors such as intellectual property and compliance are very key for business. And so the customers should always be reviewing the terms or how these models can be put to use and what are the legal and ethical issues and their intended use. And they should be very clear about it. Can they be used for commercial purposes? What are the terms and conditions? And last but not the least, model performance may not match exactly what the customer's business needs requirements are, right? And finally, you get locked into a model and you're probably being dependent on a single AI provider. This might reduce your sort of flexibility. And also, if there is any pricing or policy changes, you're locked in and you want to have the flexibility to have more customization and better outcome for your specific needs.
It's a foundational model, so change is going to be hard no matter what you do, right? So that's a great summary. One other area you touched on, I want to peel back a little bit more, is addressing hallucinations and other data inaccuracies is really super important. It's foundational for enterprise readiness and employing, especially if you're going to put it into a significant line of business or, heaven forbid, a regulated type of data set here. One technique to help offset some of that risk is Meta's proposal on RAG, or Retrieval Augmented Generative. Can you explain a little bit more about this technique and how it helps mitigate some of that?
Absolutely. RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation, as we all know it very well, is the technique that essentially optimizes the output of a large language model. How does it do it? It basically integrates an authoritative knowledge base and or database outside of its originally trained data sources. So before generating a response. So whatever the foundational model was trained on is a more generic data set, whereas here we get the customized company-specific data set and use it as either it's a structured database or unstructured data. And the data can come from a variety of sources and multimodality, and the data is current. And essentially, this enhances the query that you submit to the generative AI model. And now the generative AI model is able to generate much more accurate information, up-to-date information, as well as this information in the form of a vector database or structured or unstructured databases can continuously be updated to keep it current and even to be specific to particular users. So essentially, it augments the generative capability of an LLM in a very clean and nice way.
You're directing it to utilize business data that you would be making judgments on if you were a person. So again, it's not altering the frame of a business decision. It's just automating it and making it richer.
Exactly. Exactly. And more accurate and with these huge databases. Yeah.
Yes.
Take advantage of it, right?
So what's the process of integrating RAG with corporate data? Is it harder? Is it more complex? For an easy answer, how would you describe the ability to integrate?
So think about the RAG model, RAG as an end-to-end pipeline, where you have both query pre-trained retriever model, if you will, which will have a query encoder, you know, document index searching through a vector database or any other kind of knowledge base. And then feeding that prompt and query with the enhanced top K results out of the search into a generative AI model. And essentially, as a result of this, the generative AI model is able to drive accurate results. So what does this mean? You're going to pull knowledge from a vast repository of corporate data, documents of different formats, structured, unstructured, even wiki pages or Jira tickets, training materials, business data, and many more. And the key is to be able to integrate this RAG system with the data sources and ingesting this data. Actually, first you parse the data and make sure that the data is valuable and useful and can be ingested the right way. And then you create these indexing of that data, which can further then be acted upon by the retrieval system. And using prompts and queries and this retrieved data, then you further feed it into the generative model. So there's a huge data component here. Mm-hmm. And that requires very good platforms and systems in place. And it has to work with your existing investments. So these investments that you have made for your data installations and clusters now are going to be connected to your LLM installations, and you get this really nice end-to-end flow. And the challenge becomes investing both in terms of development resources as well as hardware resources to make the most out of this end-to-end flow to get the best both price, performance, as well as utility for your resources.
Excellent. Now, you brought up the topic just a moment ago here, and I kind of get mixed messages out of the industry, so help decrypt this for me. Where do you see the industry moving in terms of driving more or less precision in the models? You talked about accuracy. I hear a lot about vendors doing a lot of work to optimize for lower precision data structures. How do you re-rationalize those two points of view?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we at AMD are completely aware of this, and we want to make highly efficient implementations. So there are two things: precision or accuracy of the model itself, the outputs that it generates, the answers or the outcomes it generates, you want it to be as precise and accurate mm-hmm. as possible. And then the underlying data structures and the model precision of the weights and activations that the model is using. And those have a level of precision. So we have to manage both. The field of AI, as you know, is rapidly evolving, and the models are growing exponentially in terms of the sizes. And as a result, you can see they are able to give more and more accurate results with a higher precision and accuracy, and continue to drastically improve generation to generation. So what some vendors do is to try to optimize it, because we can't indefinitely keep growing the sizes without also having costs in yes. compute and memory footprint for these models. And the cycles that you need to train or deploy these models also grow. So what has been happening quite nicely in the industry and in the research is to have low precision representations of these weights and activations where applicable, while retaining the accuracy of the model. And there are lots of interesting techniques, and they're called quantization techniques, if you will, and being able to take a 32-bit floating point number and converting it into 8-bit integers or 8-bit floats or even lower precision, but which significantly will reduce the model size and inference time while not drastically compromising accuracy. Keeping the accuracy more or less the same, we are able to make it much more compact and efficient. And there are different types of quantization, such as post-training quantization, or quantization-aware training, and these help. And in addition, you can have things like pruning, where unnecessary weights and introducing sparsity in the models mm-hmm. reduces the model size. The techniques like model distillation, for example, where you have a student model or a smaller model, which will replicate the behavior of a larger model, which is also retaining the larger model's ability mostly, but then becoming more efficient. Of course, lastly, the hardware acceleration, such as GPUs and other FPGAs and other accelerators, can help run these low precision computations much more efficiently, indicating the use of basically lower precision, much more practical and very custom implementations of these.
Models within models. I think you've just taken me into the AI multiverse here, and now my head is going to explode. So thanks. That was a very, very clear discussion there. You also brought up the framework vendors and the model developers. Everyone's trying to bring better efficiency without compromising scale. You touched on it for a moment there on the hardware side. What is AMD? How do we work with the industry to give the performance and efficiency, right? So you don't, no one has an unlimited power budget needed for business adoption of AI in all its types, right? There's, you mentioned lower lift versus some heavier workloads. What is it? What can AMD do in this space?
Absolutely. AMD is working at the forefront of the AI industry to deliver both performance and efficiency, especially for enterprise adoption in a couple of different key strategies. So first one is advanced processor architectures like the EPYC line of the server CPUs with their high core count, advanced security features, energy efficiency, and they deliver exceptional performance and scalability for enterprise applications. The Zen architecture that is underlying the EPYC and Ryzen CPUs, literally pushing the boundaries of the IPC and reducing power consumption and pushing energy efficiency and compute efficiency and memory bandwidth generation to generation. And the hunger for this in the AI space, both in terms of the data as well as the compute, is just growing. And we are able to keep up with that demand. That's happening on one side. On the other side, we also have strategic partnerships with cloud providers, leading mega data centers, if you will. And we work with them and make sure that their software stack runs really well and all their frameworks and all our libraries are optimized for their workloads. In addition, we also cater to different enterprise needs for the workloads that they drive and they crank in day in and day out with both compute intensive and memory intensive. But last but not the least, we also have our AMD Instinct GPUs that are designed for deep learning, AI, and HPC applications. And they're also optimized for high throughput and energy efficiency. And the entire ROCm stack and the Zen DNN stack of software at the lowest level all the way to the very highest level with the TensorFlow, PyTorch, and the various VLLM and the different frameworks, we ensure that we really run optimized library optimizations through every level of the stack. And we also collaborate with enterprise players and OEMs to deliver enterprise-grade servers and workstations. But I do want to emphasize one thing, especially in a RAG like end-to-end pipeline, we will really take a full advantage of our AI portfolio at AMD, all the way starting from the high core count and the workhorse of the data center CPUs, and all the way to the GPUs that are running these heavy generative AI models, as well as the information retrieval and all the data munging and the data wrangling and everything that happens at one end of the spectrum. So the entire end-to-end is like really nicely applicable for our portfolio, and we optimize for the end-to-end performance. Yeah, that's some of our day jobs, is to make sure that the stacks are getting the best out of our hardware.
That's great. I'm glad you brought the software bits up and the ability to use plugins and pre-configured libraries, et cetera. No one wants to go down and do assembly and kernel level code changes, right? So it's really important to be able to make it easy to fit in with the way people are building the tools, the frameworks, the workflows that they use today. No one wants to change for their hardware. It's make everything fit underneath seamlessly is really the approach you have to take. Super important. And it's also super important to have smart people like you that they can turn to help figure this stuff out. Because as you mentioned, it's changing so quickly. Where can folks go to find out more about either the solutions or to learn more about how to evaluate what's the right thing? What's a good next step that you'd recommend for people to learn more?
Great question. So if you go to amd.com, the main site, there's a tab for solutions. Under there, you can see lots of subsections for AI solutions, for data center and cloud, as well as accelerators and SoCs, for edge and endpoint subsection, which has information regarding Ryzen, Radeon, adaptive SoCs, and your high-end data center CPUs and GPUs. And then there's also a section called for developers, where you can go to the ROCm Developer Hub or the Zen AI software and Ryzen AI software and so on. But also, we as AMD actively work with end customers, as well as with these industry standard benchmarks and consortiums. And we publish world records on these benchmarks generation to generation. as well as, like I said, work with the customer workloads as well. And we have a whole slew of libraries that can be literally drop-in compatible and very easy to use and get the developer productivity to the best possible level as and when we introduce new instructions or new features from generation to generation. And it is happening at a really fast pace, and the industry is demanding that kind of quick reactionary. It's almost like left shift, right? Like we're shifting while the hardware is coming. We are also making sure that our stack and software are readily optimized.
We have something for everyone. So thanks for those great recommendations. Mina, this has been wonderful, just as our discussions always are. So thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.